many Star Wars fans do we have here this morning? There's one behind the curtain. Who could that be? There's a saying in a couple of the Star Wars films about the presence of the Force being strong in you. We just sang that song there about the presence of God. And I don't know whether you recognize it this morning, but the presence of God is strong here today. Now, I'm not picking any favorites, but when Jess was leading one of those songs this morning, the presence of God on her was so strong. Pastor Mike needs to leave the guitar and come and lead from here more often, because the presence of God was so strong on you this morning when you're here. The presence of God was strong on Maddie as he shared around communion this morning. I've questioned what I'm going to speak about so much since Christmas time, or the beginning of this year. Because every week, whoever shared up here has shared what I was going to share. And I kept saying to God, what are you doing? These people don't want to be bored by hearing me say the same thing over and over again. Pastor Mike's messages have been absolutely awesome if you take them into your heart. If you let them come in here and flow out the other side, and it's a waste of time. But God's been speaking to us this year to begin to exercise the faith we say that we have. He's also been speaking to us about the trial of our faith. And I've mentioned already that last year has been the worst year of my entire life. I went to a meeting the other week, and the person sharing was sharing about the last year has been the worst year of their life. But I began to realize through that period that it was a trial of my faith. The things that I've said that I believed in for 30 odd years, God was putting me to the test. While we were praying for Jellia this morning, I was thinking, the things that I asked God for, he delivered on. But he did it in a way that I least expected, a way that I didn't want it to happen. I ended up having a massive heart bypass operation, which is in my physical strength has knocked the stuffing out of me. Now, when I asked for what I wanted, I didn't want that. To the point where I can't physically do the job I used to do. I've had to retire. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind that at all. I'm still trying to come to terms with having a life in God that is free from getting up and going and doing the job every day of the week. But what I want to share about this morning is, how do you handle the trial of your faith? Do you continue to run the race, as the Apostle Paul says? Continue to look towards that winning post when it may be dim and so far away in the distance, and stuff around your life is so bad that you're never going to get there. And every now and again you feel like throwing your hands in the air and say, stuff this, I give up. I just can't do it anymore. But then the Holy Spirit comes and whispers in your ear, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not cause you to be tempted more than what you're able to stand. And I'm going through this stuff saying, God, I can't. He says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You, like me, probably know lots of people who no longer attend church, who have lost their faith because they didn't go through with the trial of their faith. I know people around me that's walked out of churches years ago for this reason or that reason. Thought it was too hard. They got life's pressures, just got so much. that they began to believe the lie of the devil that God doesn't want you, you're useless, God doesn't care. I've heard all those things from the devil. You probably have too. But God says, by His Spirit, come on, you can do it. That soft, still voice. Come on, you can do it. Rely on me and not yourself. So I asked God for an example out of Scripture. And the example He gave me was a boy. A 17-year-old boy. You're a kid. You think you're fantastic and you can do anything. Because you're a man, you're so mature. But when you get to my age, you realize at 17, although I was a little boy, I thought I was fantastic. This guy's name was Joseph. 17 years old, and his dad says, go and take a message to your brothers. But before that, he had a couple of dreams. And you could see that he was immature because he shared the dreams with those that couldn't handle what it was all about. When God showed him that his brothers would bow down to him. Then he had another dream. God showed him that his father and mother would bow down to him. And all of them were impertinent about it. They didn't like the idea of the whole family bowing down to the youngest son. The Bible says that his father listened and he thought about what the dream was, didn't like it. And there began the journey of Joseph's testing of his faith. Young man who believed God. Last week, when Pastor Mike said, oh, we're sharing on Joseph, Matty Skillen gave me a comic book about the story of Joseph. And it paraphrases quite a few chapters in the Bible down to this. But it's the whole story there. Joseph was sent out to take a message to his brothers. And most of his brothers wanted to kill him because they thought this young upstart wants to rule over us. One of the brothers said, no, you can't kill him. So he was sold into slavery. Can you imagine what he was going through his mind when he gets to his brothers grab him and throw him into a hole and said, this is what you get for thinking you're better than us. Then they pull him out of the hole and he thinks, oh, they've forgiven me, they've changed their mind. And they sell him into slavery. There's not too much in the Scripture that tells me what was going through his mind. But we see as time went on that his attitude before God was right. He accepted the trial of his faith even though he didn't like it. Because when he gets to Egypt, he gets sold to a person who had some power in the land, had a bit of money. And he was sold to this man, Potiphar, to be a servant, to be a slave. But sometime early in the piece, Potiphar picks something up in this young man and puts him in charge of his household. Now, if you're failing the test of your faith, God doesn't put you in charge of things at that point. But the enemy wasn't happy with that. He conceived in the heart of Potiphar's wife. She looked upon Joseph and thought, ooh, he's a bit of all right. I wonder if. Now, you know, women don't do that anymore. Except I had a neighbour that did that years ago. My wife shared the story when we were getting the sewerage put in the street. And a couple of the guys in the warm weather were working without shirts. And one of our female neighbours said, "Ooh, he looks all right." Don't think she ever, well, she may have done something about it, but their marriage dissolved a couple of years later, so the attitude was wrong. And we've got to look at our attitude when we're going through things. Anyway, Potiphar's wife decides that she was going to seduce Joseph. But Joseph was a righteous young man, knew it was wrong, and said, "This is it, I'm out of here." And he ran and got out of there, but he left his coat behind. False witness was brought against the man, and he's brought and thrown into prison. No trial, no jury, no judge, straight into prison. Well, how would we feel today if that same thing happened with us when things went wrong? How did he handle it? Well, he must have handled it pretty well, because before long, the governor of the prison puts him in charge of the prison and the prisoners. Now, that never happens in the days in which we live. So his attitude must have been pretty good. And he must have been in relationship with God, as Matty was talking about around communion. So he didn't go there and fall back and go there and fall back. He continued to go forward. But this same scenario was repeated a little bit later when he interpreted dreams of a couple of prisoners. One prisoner didn't like the interpretation because it meant he was going to be killed. But the dreams came true. Then Pharaoh, the ruler of the land, had some dreams. Dreams that God placed upon him. And Joseph was given the opportunity of interpreting the dreams. And in that, he honored God. He said, "Look, I can't interpret your dreams, but God can." So in my challenge through the last year, there's been times when I, like Maddie, wanted to give up, step back as things got too hard. But I had this thing in me, this voice saying, "Don't give up." I mean, when you get to the bottom of your tether, when you don't know where the next cent's coming from, when your commitments are going up here and your income's going down here, and you've got no idea how you're going to get out of it, but God promises me he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's never promised me that I'd be wealthy. He told me I'm going to be rich, and I am rich because I'm his son. I'm his child. In the prayer room this morning and last week even, I had a vision of when the children came to Jesus. The disciples wanted to send him away. Jesus said, "No, let him come." Well, there's some people here this morning that Jesus says to you right now, "You haven't come and sat on my knee for a while." And to those people, Jesus is saying, "Come, sit on my knee. Talk to me. I know the situations. I know the things that are plaguing you. I know the things that make you happy. But you haven't come and sat on my knee for a while." I believe that's what Matty was talking about around communion. That's the reason you keep falling back. You've got to come and sit on the knee of your God, of your Saviour, of your friend, of your dad. Joseph was sitting on God's knee all the time. To cut a long story short, Pharaoh makes him ruler, second to him, over the whole of Egypt. His brothers came down because of the famine and the fulfillment of the visions that Pharaoh had. They did bow down to him. They brought his mother and father down and they bowed down to him. But in that, he made Pharaoh even richer. You read the story that he got the Egyptians to come and sell everything they had to Pharaoh. Joseph didn't keep it for himself. He could have done. So his faith was tested for 2 years in prison. Not exactly sure how much time in Potiphar's house. You know, it wasn't a 5-minute testing. And sometimes the trial of our faith goes on and on and on and on, and we think we're never going to get to the end. But then Jesus says, by the voice of the Spirit, look up. Look at me. I'm standing at the right hand of the Father. And when God looks at you, he looks and sees me, because you're hidden in me. And I've promised to take care of you, no matter what. I was thinking of a singer that I don't hear much of these days. Her name was Joni Erickson. She was in a wheelchair. She had lots of prayer to get out of that wheelchair and never did. But she didn't give up on God. She kept singing under the Lord. A few years ago, there was a fellow, I can't remember his name, but he stood up in an auditorium with thousands of people in front of it, and he's like this, and he says, I got cerebral palsy, what's your problem? We've all got problems, we've all got issues. God promises to see us right through. He promises that he will heal us. Well, according to my Bible, says that I'm already healed by the stripes that he took on at Calvary. Whether the physical side of that comes through or not doesn't matter. Because I believe we continue as humans to look at the small picture all the time instead of the big picture. This life we live here is the small picture. The life to come in eternity with Christ, where we are called to be kings and priests. Now, we are to be rulers, reigning with Christ throughout eternity. Over whom or over what, I've got no idea, because God hasn't told us yet. But because of our humanity, we allow the feelings we have in this puny little life that we have to dictate our lives, dictate the way we think, dictate our actions so often, instead of looking at the big picture and allowing the trial of our faith to build us up into something stronger in Christ. And the key is to be in Christ Jesus. For there, all things are possible. We are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're feeling down, in Christ Jesus, there is no more guilt. Your sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. And he presents us to the Father, white as snow. One thing I was whispered to by the Holy Spirit the other day, and I hope in Christ I can fulfill this, is that whenever I speak, whether it's in a situation like this or one-on-one, if I don't bring encouragement, then I don't want to do it. I don't want to be involved in meetings where I'm not inspired anymore. I thank God for this man, Pastor Peter and others. Every time they speak, they inspire me to continue my relationship with God, to continue to ask God, what is it you want from me now? And if you're not inspired, then I'm sorry. Because the Bible's told me that when we come together, whether it's one-on-one or like this, that we should encourage one another, build one another up. You are kings and priests under God. Not will be, you are. You are the righteousness of Christ. Not will be, you are. He has made you to be holy. Can you all close your Bibles? Turn off your iPads or put them down. Close your eyes. Just look through that torn curtain. And the scripture that says that we can come boldly before the throne of God. Just want to read you a bit of scripture. You'll probably work out where it comes from. But it encourages me, and I pray that it encourages you if it hasn't already. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, not a few, but many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Pastor Mike spoke about our calling. Those he called, he also justified. You've already been justified by Christ in God. Those he justified, he also glorified. We sang about glorifying God. He's already glorified you in him. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Absolutely nobody. Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against them who God has chosen? Nobody can bring a charge against you and stand, because God has chosen you. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, he was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's the trial of our faith. And it goes day after day after day. And we need to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In the Authorized Version it says, no, in all these things we are more than overcomers. And we can't overcome something unless there's a battle to be won. But in this, the scripture says, we are more, not just overcomers, not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors, more than overcomers, who through Christ who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what does. From the first time I read that, it lifted my spirit and told me that I've come into a relationship with a person that will never let me down. So if you haven't been through the last worst year of your life, it's coming. And it happens to all of us. I believe God tests everyone's faith. He doesn't do it for his benefit. He does it for yours. He does it for mine. God knows how I'm going to handle things. He knows how you're going to handle things. But quite often we don't until we're put in that position. We hear of just recently on the television these awards going out to heroes. People put into situations that they're not normally in. And how the adrenaline begins to pump and they do things that normally would be impossible for them. Well, God puts us in a position to see and show us that we can do things that are normally impossible for us. The scripture says that all things are possible to those who believe. So just as Joseph went through years of testing, and there are many others. In fact, I think everybody in scripture went through years of testing. Even Jesus was tested in the garden. It was a test of his faith. Now, I've got no understanding of the pressures that would have been upon Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. But because of his relationship with God, he was able to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." The Holy Spirit's been speaking to Matty about along those lines and saying, "You go so far and then you step back because it gets hard." Well, nothing's impossible for those who believe. Absolutely nothing. A month or so ago when I was pretty down, and Matty sent me a psalm. It's the longest message I've had on my phone. It just went on, and it was only part of the psalm, but it lifted me up. It encouraged me. So what I want you to do today is to encourage people when you get together with them, Christian or not, because the non-Christian needs it more than what we do. Build people up, not drag them down. God knows there's enough people out there dragging people down all the time. They're everywhere. Sadly, there's too many of them in a church. And most of what I've said, I don't know where it come from this morning, but if I can't encourage people, if I can't instill some enthusiasm in people, if I get up here and you're bored with it, let me know. Because if I bore you, I shouldn't be here. But if you fall asleep, I'll see it and I'll wake you up. I know how to do it. The Holy Spirit showed me. Worked a couple of times when I was preaching. Father God, I thank you that, Lord, you are a God that encourages your people to run the race. Can the musos come while they're doing it? Praise the Lord. Father, to run the race that is set before us. Lord, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, dear God, it's like going through a fog. You don't even know where you're going. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. But Lord, we need to rely on your promises. And there's so many of them. But Lord, you put in one promise that says all your promises are yes and amen. Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, that from our salvation we are hidden in Christ, in God. And we've just read in the scripture that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, we don't have to carry guilt anymore because you took it from us. And the promises go on and on and on. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you, God, that we can stand before your throne because you opened the door. You tore the curtain in two. And Lord, we don't have to timidly come, but we can come boldly before the throne of our God. Help us, Lord, to encourage and build one another up. Lord, to continue through that trial of our faith when it comes, because it's going to come. None of us get by without one. And realize as we go through these things, Lord, it's you're doing it for our benefit. Because you know exactly how we're going to act or react. So, Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, as we go about our daily lives this week, Father, help us to encourage and build people up. Lord, to share the gospel in one way or another. And as we've been encouraged over the last couple of weeks to speak to someone about coming to church. But even if they don't come, Lord, let us speak to someone about this man whom we love, the one who set us free, the one who was with us all the time, the one who one day will come and take us unto himself into the heavens for eternity. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen.